The journey of the soul.
We ask Allah to guide us to the straight path.
We
ask Allah to guide us to the straight path.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا سيدي يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا سيدي يا نور الله. Welcome back to our series, The Journey of the Soul. We have discussed many things in the past 10 episodes, and now in these next 10 episodes we're going to talk about something more relatable to our time. Tribulations that are to come before the end of times, the story of Imam Mahdi, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, the story of the false Messiah, Ad-Dajjal. We're going to talk about various different problems that will arise within the world in the coming years. Allah knows best when these events will take place. What we do know is many prophecies have unfolded right before our very eyes, and various prophecies are still left yet to be unfolded. During these hardships and these trials, what should we do? How can we save ourselves? How can we protect ourselves? I'm going to start with this hadith just to give us an introduction to the tribulations that are to come. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the hour will not take place, لا تقوم الساعة, that the hour will not occur, حتى تقتتل فئتان عظيمتان تكون بينهما مقتلة عظيمة دعواهما واحدة, that day of judgment will not be established until two great groups, two great armies will fight one another, and both of these armies will be fighting for the exact same thing. Both of their claims will be the same. دَعْوَاهُمَا wahida. This specific clash, this specific war occurred in the past. History has reported this. It's a big story, it's a long story. To some extent, slightly controversial as well. I would advise everyone to look into the history of the events that took place before the Karbala and the events that happened after the Karbala. The events that took place when Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu was voted to be the Caliph. Ijma consensus of the Sahaba, Ijma al-Sahaba was upon Hazrat Uthman al-Ghani being the third Caliph. And after this, there was a lot of bloodshed, a lot of wars took place. And they all have their long, to some extent, sad stories. This was the, remember, Islam is always, it's like a wave. Sometimes it's at its peak, sometimes it's at its trough. And this continuous cycle of being at the peak and at the trough. So this is one of the indications that Judgment Day is close now. And the Prophet ﷺ prophesied this. And this event, the scholars agreed, has happened. Okay, and the history has reported this to quite some extent. And then the Prophet ﷺ gives us another sign. He says that وَحَتَّى يَبْعَثَ دَجَّالٌ كَذَّابٌ قَرِيبٌ مِّن ثَلَاثِينَ كُلُّهُمْ يَزْعُمُ أَنَّهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. That after this event, what we will see is the rise of 30 fake Dajjals. So not even the real Dajjal, but there will be 30 or somewhat qareebum, yani approximately 30 fake Dajjal that will claim to be the false Messiah, 30 of those. And each one of those would assume that they are a messenger of God, sent by God, that they are a selected person, they are a selected individual. So this would be another sign that Judgment Day is close, when you will hear You will hear that, God forbid, the Antichrist has now come, or approximately 30 fake ones until the real one. Some scholars interpret this by saying that the false prophets that have self-announced themselves, these false prophets that have come in the past, these are those individuals that the Prophet ﷺ has talked about, the 30 false prophets that are the Dajjal. Ad-Dajjal literally means the deceiver. They have deceived many people. They have deceived many people. And these deceivers actually cause a lot of bloodshed. The incident of Musaylimatul Kazzab, when he announced prophethood, it's an interesting story because he actually announced prophethood. He wanted half of the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after this, many wars took place. There was a lot of clash. So when these fake prophets arise, this causes a lot of controversy, a lot of warfare, and it's something that concerns the Muslim nation. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then says, وَحَتَّى يُقْبَضَ الْعِلْمُ, that such that knowledge will be raised. Knowledge will be raised. There is a narration where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that this ummah is given 10 parts of knowledge. Yani, this ummah is given 10 parts of knowledge. And by the passing of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab, he took with him 9 parts of knowledge. So 90% of the knowledge that the Prophet ﷺ gave us, or the knowledge that we had as a Muslim nation, 90% of it has already been raised at the time of when Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab was martyred, when he became shaheed. So whatever knowledge the Muslim nation has, it's literally 10% of the knowledge that was given to us, or that we inherited. So we only have 10% of the knowledge. So scholars have mentioned that this sign has already occurred by the passing of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab. And then we see our major supreme scholars, the grand scholars of the Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah, raised. And when they were raised, they took away many sciences with them. Many knowledges are lost after that. Many things we have not kind of deciphered after that. Some things we still try to understand, but we struggle to understand at times. Knowledge will be raised. وَتَكْسُرَ الزَّلَازِلِ وَتَكْسُرَ الزَّلَازِلِ. So the previous point where knowledge will be raised, this is to do with our relationship towards Islamic knowledge, our relationship towards the Quran, our relationship towards Islam. And we will see that knowledge will be raised. The next narration is regarding the geography of the world, where the Prophet ﷺ says that earthquakes will increase. There will be an increase of earthquakes. Now we have seen, especially in the past few years, the rise of earthquakes, horrific earthquakes, which many, many thousands of people displaced, many hundreds of people buried under the rubble of their own homes. On some occasions we've had maybe 3 or 4 earthquakes in the same week. So this narration, this sign of the Day of Judgment, taking place right before our very eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا, when the earth begins to shake. وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا, and when the earth begins to throw out all its valuables, all its goodnesses. أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَالَهَا. At that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives us a statement, a sentence that the insan, the entire human population, more or less will end up saying. Everyone will turn around and say, ma laha, what's the matter with the earth? Why is it offset? Why is it not in balance anymore? Why is there this constant shaking, trembling of the earth? And so when you hear this statement in the future, maybe your children, maybe the children's children, our next generations, there will be a time when they hear this statement and everyone is saying, Malaha, what's the matter with the earth? What on earth is going on? Subhanallah. وَيَتَقَارَبُ الزَّمَانِ Time will become very close to one another. Time will pass very fast. So this is two ways to look at this narration. There's two different aspects to this narration. Number one, there is so much virtual reality. By virtual reality, we mean screen time. There is so much communication, fast communication. There is so much distractions in the dunya. There is so much different types of entertainments which make time feel as if it is flying past. وَيَتَقَارَبُ الزَّمَانِ So that's one way to look at it. Yani there's so much distractions in the dunya that time is just flying past. We're living in a situation, especially here in the West, where our weeks just fly past. Especially in the West, time flies. And this is a constant cycle, and each time is going faster and faster and faster. That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at this is the fact that in the past, to travel 60 miles, more or less, taqriban, approximately, to travel 60 miles in the past without these forms of transport that we have, using maybe a horse, traveling 60 miles would take you on average 3 days. It would take you 3 days to travel 60 miles. 3 days traveling 60 miles. And now we have, to some extent, done a time warp where 60 miles can be covered in about 60 minutes. Some people commute to work 60 miles and they cover it within 60 minutes if there's no traffic or if there's standard traffic. And doing 3 days worth of journey in 1 hour is a prediction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَيَتَقَارَبُ الزَّمَانِ, that thing that would take you, that action or that event that would take you days to do, months to do, is now taking you minutes to complete. Another prophecy revealed before our very eyes. Tribulations will become apparent. Various tribulations, various problems. Such problems that it's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel. These type of problems where, you know, sometimes you have a problem and you know what the solution is, and you just need to carry out or take the right steps and you could sort out the problem. But we're talking about such problems where you might not even be able to see a way out of those tribulations. It might seem as if there's no hope. It might seem as if there's no light at the end of the tunnel. These are the types of fitan, tribulations that we will see, and we are seeing. وَيَكْثُرَ الْحَرُجِ The Prophet ﷺ used a very ancient word here, al-haruj. And then he explains it as well. Al-haruj means qatal, bloodshed. There'll be constant bloodshed throughout the world. Constant bloodshed. There will be mass genocides. There will be killing for no reason, for no sane reason. It's very hard to justify killing. Very difficult to justify killing. And then there will be this outbreak of war after war after war, constant wars. And there will be this fight for power across the globe. There'll be a fight for power. All the way up to now, all these things will occur. And then the Prophet, there's a slight turn in the narration, a kind of like a right turn. Right? And then the Prophet says that all of this will happen such that now there will be a time where that wealth will be excessive. People will be wealthy. Everyone will have wealth. This hadith, this point, this aspect has various different types of understanding what it means to have numerous or abundance of wealth, such that a person will be distributing wealth, and the person collecting wealth would say, I have no more room to keep this wealth, I cannot take it off you. So this will be a time of prosperity. The next point in the narration mentions, such that buildings will be raised, buildings, mega structures will be raised, and there'll be a constant competition in who's raising the biggest building. There will be a competition of who has the most tallest building, whose building is above the clouds, whose building is the largest, subhanAllah. We have seen this unfold in some of the Arab countries. We have the most tallest buildings ever created, ever made by man, the tallest building. And the hadith actually gives this impression that there will be a fast competition in raising the tallest buildings. So one man will, in his country, make a building, amazing structure, the tallest of all buildings. And another country, to show his power and strength, he will make a building tall as. And this competition will continue in raising tall buildings. And then the Prophet ﷺ says that a man will now walk past a grave, and he will desire to be in that grave in place of the dead person. Now, this is a very saddening part of narration, another sign of the Day of Judgment, where a person is so grieved by the dunya, he is so saddened by the oppression and the fitna and the tribulations of the dunya, where he actually feels more safety, he feels more happiness in being dead. And he is so fed up of the darkness of the dunya, he prefers the darkness of the grave. That will be a very sad state of humanity, where a person walks past a grave and desires to be inside the grave. This would be a very sad state and a sad time to live in. And these scenarios are unfolding in front of us. There are people who just prefer not to live. There are some people that actually don't want to see any humans. They are done with humans. Humans have become so evil and vicious and greedy and so unloyal and bad character that some humans are just sick of other humans because of all the negativity that they bring, all the corruption they bring. There are people out there that just don't want to be around any more human, and then, God forbid, ma'azallah, it's not the right thing to do. They take their own lives. And now there is this rise of Islamophobia as well in the where we are living, this constant rise, and we have seen this is a sad reality where our Muslim sisters, it's very difficult for them to go out in public with their Islamic dress code. That's a sad reality. That's another mini fitna that we are facing, where the rise of Islamophobia as well. Like this, there are so many fitan, false prophets, false scholars, the intruder scholar, the intruder, he shouldn't be there. There are so many different types of fitan which are disuniting, decomposing, destructuring the Muslim nation. Muslims are a community. We live in harmony and peace amongst each other. And when tribulations come, tribulations sometimes have the better of us. But the Prophet ﷺ has told us, in such times, hold on to your religious leaders. Follow your religious leaders. We have Amir-e-Ahl-e-Sunnah, we will hold on to his teachings. We will continue understanding his teachings. We will read his books, his Fazan-e-Sunnat, various different parts of Fazan-e-Sunnat. We will read his weekly booklets that are published through his organization. We will watch the Madani Muzakira and learn from him. Amir al-Sunnat has experience in living in the dunya. He knows how to propagate Islam and how to protect one's iman, faith, honor, respect. How to save the image of Islam as well, how to prevent the public's eye from Islamophobia. The Amir al-Sunnah knows all these. He is a very knowledgeable person, a very experienced person in this regard. We will follow his way of communication, his understanding, his teachings, his propagation. And this, as the Prophet ﷺ says, a companion asked the Prophet ﷺ, when these tribulations come, what do? The Prophet ﷺ said that, hold on to your leaders, your rightful imams, hold on to your rightful imams. And the companion asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what if there are no imams? What if there are no rightful imams? And the Prophet ﷺ says, then go find a tree, stay next to that tree. In other words, go off grid. Live by a tree, wait for death. If the Prophet ﷺ says that you die in that state, you have died in the correct state. So we, for now, we do have religious leaders. We have strong religious leaders, and we will follow their manhaj, we will follow their teachings, like Amir al-Sunnat and various other Sunni ulama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us at all times. May He use the ability to understand, implement, and then further convey this message. Ameen. Bijahi Nabil Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The journey of the soul.
We ask Allah to guide us to the straight path. We ask Allah to guide us to the straight path.